This week, on AA Pop Culture Cast, Anthony and I discuss what our elf names would be if we worked at the North Pole, along with the new Star Wars Archives book being released this week. We discuss the strange implications in Disney's The Santa Clause, and how Santa also makes an appearance in the Marvel Comics at least more than once. Welcome back to AA Pop Culture Cast.
Your weekly recharge.
You know what?
Trying something new.
We'll just keep it in. We'll just keep it in. That's great. I love it. Good job.
Thanks.
We'll try something new each time.
Yeah.
Tonight it was...
I can keep you on your toes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm great. Good. I am so great. Done with a lot of work this year.
Mm-hmm.
So feeling really happy.
Really relaxed?
Yeah. How about yourself?
I am the same way. I'm feeling relaxed. I'm going to be able to go home, hang with my family for the rest of the year tomorrow. Very happy about that. Yeah. Have any fun holiday plans coming up?
Yeah, every year my family, we go to my grandparents' house, and we celebrate Christmas Eve there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat. I know for a lot of families, I've always been surprised that it doesn't seem like they do a lot on Christmas Eve. That's just another day. But that's not the case in my family.
Really?
We get together with my whole mom's side of the family, and it's just a blast. We do a Secret Santa, have great food.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that.
So, can you tell me what you got for your Secret Santa? Or would it be giving it away in case they're listening?
I don't think they'd be listening.
Oh, well, they should be after you give them that gift. Make sure to plug the podcast.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the gift yet, but okay. I have an idea.
Okay.
I think I'm going to get the person... The person who is... I'm the Secret Santa for is a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to get this child a coloring set, like a coloring book and marker set.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some sort of gift card to an indoor amusement park type place.
Hmm.
Like I think that could be fun.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Yeah, Christmas Eve for me is just another day.
Yeah, you're one of those people.
I am. Although this year I believe my girlfriend and I, we will be celebrating like our Christmas together.
Aw.
So... I know she listens, so I can't tell you what I can't tell you now what I got her, but I think she's really going to be happy.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very nice. But we'll probably go out to dinner, do our gift exchange at the restaurant, have a very nice dinner together, and then the next day, unfortunately, on Christmas Day, she works at a hospital.
Oh.
So she'll be working that day. But then the next day, the 26th, for those in Britain, it's called Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So, on Boxing Day, we will be driving to Maryland to see the rest of my family. And she'll be joining us. So that'll be fun.
Oh, it's so exciting.
So
big steps.
Yeah. Nice 10-hour car ride.
You'll really get to know each other.
We will find out if this is meant to be or if we should just abort mission. So,
have you decided upon the restaurant you're going to go to on Christmas Eve?
We haven't yet. We probably should to get reservations.
Yeah.
But, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
to it.
You'll
figure it out.
Yeah.
No worries there.
No.
So, earlier, about a couple weeks ago, we had a conversation about elf names.
Yes, we did.
Should we reveal the elf names that we came up with for ourselves? Man.
I don't remember mine. Do you remember what mine was?
It ended with an O. I think I remember mine.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think we can preface that you and I both work with college students.
Mm-hmm.
We were having like a Christmas party for our student staff. And you brought up... Or was it...
Or no, it was one of the students asked me.
One of the students asked you what your elf name would be.
Mm-hmm.
If you were an elf who worked in Santa's workshops. Your elf name was...
Shmoompa. Was that it? I think... Was that not it?
I don't think it was, but we'll roll with it.
Shmoompa? It wasn't that? Oh, crap. I don't remember what it was then.
Shlimpo?
I thought it ended with a pa.
Shlimpa? We're going to say something unintentionally offensive if we keep going on this.
Yeah, we are.
But we'll go with Schlumpa. That sounds...
Schmoompa?
Schmoompa. I think I can't remember what mine was now. I think it was like... I forget what it was now. It was like something with an SH.
Okay. Well, if you were to choose an elf name...
Choose an elf name.
Yeah. What would your elf name be?
Schlinko.
Schlinko?
Schlinko. Yeah. I work in the Slinky and Etch-a-Sketch division.
Oh.
Yeah, Schlinko. The sh from the sketch and the Linko from Slinky.
Gotcha. So wait.
Yeah.
Did your parents decide when you were born that that's where you were going to work and that's why they named you that?
It's a strange process at the North Pole. It's... I don't want to say it's selective breeding, but things are predetermined.
So it's like Krypton and Man of Steel.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone has a place.
Yeah, there hasn't been a natural birth in centuries.
Exactly.
In the North Pole.
It's kind of like if you've read the book Brave New World.
I haven't.
Oh, it's basically a book all about that, where no one, there's not been like a natural birth in like... centuries, and everyone's like predetermined. Oh. It's basically that, but Brave New World's really dark. Yeah, the North Pole, but it's not, no one is like lesser or greater than, everyone's equal. It's just what your skill set is, and my skill set was putting together Etch-a-Sketches and Slinkies.
Ah.
You know, you wouldn't think they'd be in the same office.
You wouldn't. I would never guess that.
But you know, The categorization at the North Pole is just, it's just wacky, because,
yeah,
you know, it's the North Pole.
I would think that if you were skilled at those two different things, like, the Slinky skill, I would think, would translate to other things, like elves that maybe make mattresses or something. Like, I could imagine those being the same department.
Yeah.
And what else would go with Etch-a-Sketch? Because I imagine Etch-a-Sketch is this... like screen, rectangular screen with sand in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just sketch work. It's magic. It's magic. I think
it's the magic of the North Pole that helped Etch Sketch work.
Speaking of Etch Sketches, have you ever known anyone that could do an awesome design through an Etch Sketch?
Not personally, because I had an Etch Sketch when I was younger, and all I could do is I could do a swirl, like a square.
That's
swirl.
Kind of impressive, I think.
I could do that.
Or wait, is that less impressive than I'm making it out to be? Is that literally just turning the knobs, right?
Just turning the knobs.
Okay.
No, it's impressive. If you say it's impressive, then it's impressive.
I'm giving 5-year-old Adam an ego boost.
I was more like 4-year-old Adam, but hey. Could I tell you my left from my right? Nope. Could I draw a swirl on my Etch-a-Sketch? You goddamn right I could.
That's all you need.
You know. But no, I've never known. I have seen them online, like some of the really detailed, like Etch-a-Sketch artists.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? If you were good at Etch-a-Sketch, you would probably be also in that department, I would think, would be those things where they're almost like mini Etch-a-Sketches. Where it's someone's face,
yeah.
And it's all these black pieces.
Like the little magnet.
Yeah, you get the magnet pen, and then you can put hair on them, and that's fun for like 2 minutes. And then you're like, what else do I do with this toy?
Yep. And you couldn't really do any like mustaches or anything, because like you'd put the pen near the magnets, and all of them would go, and you're like, well, you have a toupee.
Right.
The end.
Exactly.
And that was the end of the toy.
Yeah.
And it was like an odd like peanut-shaped head. On the guy.
Was it?
Yeah, well, we can pull it up.
What are you going to search? I'm really curious. I don't know what I would call this thing.
Magnet hair toy.
Magnet hair toy?
Oh,
wow. It popped up right away. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Wooly Willy. That is the toy.
Willy.
It's on alphasupply.com. It's a hot buy right now.
Office Supply? It's a hot... Oh, it's $1.68.
Use magnetic wand to move iron powder into position to draw whiskers, sideburns, a mustache, or different hairstyles on Wooly Willy. Wooly Willy, the original favorite, is ranked as one of the greatest toy concepts of all time.
Seriously.
Ooh, must have been a real bad year for toy concepts.
I just don't...
I love how even the description is saying dozens of designs are possible. Like, use your imagination, but, like, there's only, like, at least 24. Dozens, yeah. Just 24.
Yeah, it's not limitless to some.
Yeah, like, sure, you can give him a hair and a mustache, or a hair and beard and a mustache, but, like, after that, it's dozens, wow. Not yeah. hundreds, not thousands.
Then you're done.
Dozens. They're selling themselves short. There's only two reviews, but they're both 5 stars. I love this old toy. I am ordering more soon.
Oh, God.
Wooly Willy is fun. If I was rich, I'd buy a few thousand of them.
What? That sounds like an awful investment.
Submitted by Wooly Charlie from Muncie, Indiana.
Okay, this person really likes Wooly Willy.
Wow. And Rachel from undisclosed location bought 3 months ago. Ordering again. I love this old toy. I am ordering more soon.
Why do you need multiple, though? Like, it's not like it's it comes in different styles.
Hold on.
Like, it's a woman or something? Oh, no, never mind. There's
Hairdo Harriet.
Hairdo Harriet.
I guess she can't have facial hair.
Yeah.
There's no description for this toy. It's just the end. We got Buddy Beagle. It's a dog that... That's stupid. And then, what is this? The Magnetic Wanted poster. It's just a cowboy. Cool. Well, that's fun. But, in news of actual cool things, recently this week, there was released, I'm guessing from Lucasfilm, let's see here.
Or they have some sort of company that they partner with for publishing. Is it Del Rey, I want to say?
Mm.
D-E-L space R-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter where it comes from. But this is a Star Wars thing. It's official.
Yeah.
Star Wars archives.
Yeah. So it's all set production photos, concept art from 1977 to 1983. So basically the original trilogy. When you see it laid out like that, you know, people think about Star Wars being this timeless thing. They only happened within 6 years. That is so quick.
Yeah. That's something I think about a lot. Like, George Lucas, Star Wars is something that is a phenomenon, that is huge. But not only is that not... Are those not the only films he made? But in that time, he had another hugely popular series.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It was like, it would go like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. When did the first Indiana Jones come out? Was it 78 or 79?
I believe it was 1980.
Or 80, yeah, that's right, 80. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Two insane films came out in the same year.
Yeah. And I definitely think that because of the sci-fi aspect, Star Wars has more longevity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones is great. They're amazing films, except the fourth one, which we won't talk about. It's fine. It came out on my birthday that year.
I still have never seen it.
You're not missing much.
And the thing was, I've only seen the Indiana Jones movies once.
Really?
But I really enjoyed them, and I definitely need to go back and watch them.
You do.
And the thing is, Shia LaBeouf was huge at that time.
He was.
And, like, I remember some people were... talking he was going to be the next Tom Hanks or something.
Yeah.
So those two in a movie together, that was really exciting.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford and Shia LaBeouf.
And then it was just the worst chemistry possible.
Really?
Apparently, like, Shia LaBeouf and, like, Harrison Ford did not get along together.
Oh, no.
At all on set. And, like, Shia LaBeouf would, like, annoy Harrison Ford. And he's just like, go away. He's like, no, you're really cool. I want to hang out with you. And he's like, no, I don't want to hang out with you. So, yeah. But interestingly, little Indiana Jones Star Wars crossover fun fact, in the second movie, The Temple of Doom, it starts off in a Chinese nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And the nightclub that they're in is the Club Obi-Wan.
Really?
So you see the name flash on the screen for like a split second when the car chase starts, but it's Club Obi-Wan.
Isn't there another part where Indiana Jones is in this cave with hieroglyphics, and you can see C-3PO and R2-D2.
Well, that's in the fourth one.
Oh, okay, so we don't talk about that.
And the whole room is filled with these tiles with different symbols on them.
Yeah.
And it was more of like a like special feature for the DVD type thing, when like DVD featurettes were like a really big thing in the early 2000s, where one of the tiles was C-3PO and R2-D2. But you can't see it on screen. Like, there's not even, like, a close-up of it. Or, like, a passing, like, establishing shot. Gotcha. Nothing like that. It's just, hey, it's here! And then we can put it on the DVD, like, hey, look, did you know that one of them was... It's like, you built in, like, a feature for the DVD. It wasn't... It was more like a fun fact.
Yeah.
They manufactured a fun fact.
I see.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Whereas like Club Obi-Wan, that's you see it, and you're like, oh shoot, wait a minute, is that from Star Wars?
Yeah.
And it's gone. And you're like, oh, okay, was it? And then you have to go back and watch it again in the 80s.
Yeah.
Go back to the theaters and watch it again.
So like in Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, mm-hmm. there's a scene where you can see some aliens who are designed like E.T.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's more of an Easter egg, whereas this that you wouldn't say is a manufactured Easter egg.
No, I would say that's more kind of like a nod to Steven Spielberg, because I know Lucas and Spielberg are good friends.
Yeah,
I would say that's like that, and the Club Obi-Wan are like nods, whereas because you can't even see the tile in Episode 4, they literally are like, we're gonna make this. But you can't see it in the movie, so you have to buy the DVD to even know it was there.
Mm.
So it'd be like me having a book hidden under my desk, and then you come visit me and talk with me, and then you leave, and then I'm like, oh, by the way, did you know
this was here the whole time?
I had the Magna Carta under my desk, and you're like, why would I know that? I didn't see it. Yeah, but now you know. So isn't that cool? You're like, why didn't you just show that to me? It's suspense.
So this whole time when you were looking at the desk, it was really there.
Whoa! Yeah, so...
Is that cool?
But anyway, all that aside, we have a great episode today.
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to talk about the archives real quick.
Yes, yes.
So Ralph McQuarrie, he was the concept artist behind the original Star Wars films, and he's a Star Wars legend.
He is.
These images are fantastic. A lot of the people who worked on Star Wars say it really set the tone for the visual design. It set things like how Darth Vader looks the way he is.
Yeah.
Because originally it was just supposed to be a space breathing suit. Oh. Anthony Daniels said when he first saw the image of C-3PO, he just connected with the character. He saw that he seemed like kind of this sad, tragic character. Mm-hmm. And then just if you look at things like the Clone Wars and especially Rebels, there's so many cues taken from that where they've gone back and looked at inspiration like, oh, there was this design for this ship. We'll actually take that and put and extrapolate that, make it into the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars Rebels, the visual style is so, so, so influenced by his work.
Interesting.
So that in and of itself is enough to at least give his work a look at.
Yeah. One thing I know, and this is kind of a teaser for our Christmas Eve episode, but the set design or the illustration, and of course you're aware of this, illustration for the main setting of the Star Wars Holiday Special on the planet of Kashyyyk is the same style used in Episode 3.
Yeah.
So, and I know that design was done by Ralph McQuarrie, so his influence spans amazing cinematic masterpieces and things never to be seen with the human eye.
Yeah. You'll hear when we get to that special, but they literally use that piece of art in the special twice.
Yeah. But yeah. So we have a great episode today. So last week, we talked about the Polar Express. Very fun. Great to have Rhea on. But this week, we're going to be talking about the big man himself,
the Santa Claus.
That's right.
With an E.
With an E. We're going to be talking about the Tim Allen 1994 Disney film, The Santa Claus. I feel like when I say Claus, I kind of put an extra Z.
Do you
emphasize the E?
And that makes it.
Yeah.
So it took me too long to realize that it was about a clause.
It was a pun.
Like a contract. And, like, they literally say it in the movie. I think it just went over my head so many times. Because I think I was in high school and I was still spelling Santa Claus with an E. I'm like, wait a second.
Hang on. Yeah. So on top of that, we're going to be talking about some just weird points in that film. And then we're going to be talking about how Santa is technically in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So we'll be heading on to talk about Santa Claus. See you then.
Oh, hey there again.
Welcome back to the podcast. So, the Santa Claus. What a movie.
Yeah. So, should we start by saying, I watched an interview recently where Tim Allen was on Jimmy Fallon, and they were talking about the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And Tim Allen was saying that originally his character was supposed to shoot Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was a burglar.
Yeah.
But he's like, but Disney was like, no, you can't do that. But that makes me think, so wait, did Disney commission this script? Was Disney involved later? And did Tim Allen sign on before Disney was involved?
From what I've heard, because I've heard of that interview, and I've known for a while that the original idea was that Santa, or Scott Calvin, was supposed to shoot Santa.
Yeah.
I got the impression that Tim Allen was, like, directly involved. Like, he was involved with the writing, or, like, some aspect of the writing.
Okay.
Or at least some of the initial story. But I think if you had Scott shoot Santa Claus, that would just be it would be a totally different movie, in my opinion.
Oh, totally.
Even if everything else stayed the same, the fact that Scott just shot Santa, it would be... I think that also the shooting was not entirely omitted from the script. And here's why. So, in the scene, for those of you who haven't seen The Santa Claus, basically Scott Calvin is a toy executive who is spending Christmas Eve with his son, who is spending Christmas Eve with him because this is his weekend for custody, because him and his wife are divorced. So, Scott Calvin is woken up by his son as he claims to hear things on the roof. He hears shouting and footsteps, and he's like, someone's on the roof. Wakes up Scott. Scott's like, there's no one up there. And then he hears it. Like, oh my gosh, someone's on a roof. So he runs out, says, hey there. Santa falls down. Santa dies. In the following moment, his son Charlie runs out, and Charlie shouts, you got him.
Oh, he does?
So my thinking is that they just changed Scott's lines in the middle of the shooting, but they didn't change Charlie's lines, because Charlie says, oh, you got him! Which makes me think that the shooting was still somehow in the script, because if I went out and shouted at someone and startled them and they fell over, I don't think by any stretch of imagination I quote-unquote got them. unless it was like a prank, and I was like, huh, got him!
Yeah.
But he summons out excitedly and is like, you got him! I'm like, wow, kid. Alright. You're just gonna go and be happy that your dad killed Santa?
Yeah.
It's weird.
And didn't he still say you killed him?
He does say, oh, you killed him! Yeah. So that clearly was like part of the rewrite or the second draft. But the first draft line of, you got him, is still in there, because I'm pretty sure a child would hear the gunshot, hear the person fall, and then think, my dad got the burglar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that the shooting was still involved.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
And so, let's go with this idea. Let's say it hadn't been changed. Santa shoots him. Can you keep that a movie where Santa gets shot PG-13, does that become R?
I think it's PG-13.
It would be PG-13 still.
I would say it's PG-13 as long as we don't get any Santa Claus or Scott Calvin / Santa Claus dropping any F-bombs while delivering toys. I think we can keep it PG-13.
I just think that if you have that, if that's the precedent, that it just warrants the movie being darker from there on out.
It definitely would have to be darker, because if you start off with someone shooting Santa Claus, and this is like 10 minutes into the film, like, Santa dies.
Yeah.
If he shot him, yeah, it would totally change everything. Huh. But yeah. So anyway, Scott Calvin kills Santa by startling him. And he takes this card out of Santa's pocket. So first of all, we have Scott Calvin startling a man and then looting his pockets, being like, huh.
Well, he's trying to find ID. Remember, he even says, like, sir, like, I'm just reaching in your pocket to try to find your wallet.
Oh,
and then he finds that card.
That's right.
And then the body's gone.
Well, he reads the card.
Yeah.
It says, the Santa Claus. On the back, it's like, in case of my death, put on the suit, and the reindeer will know what to do. So it's like, okay, there was already a precedent for this. Then Charlie and him step back a bit to look up at the reindeer, and then Santa's body, now Santa's in the snow, his face is covered, but there's a gloved hand sticking out, and it waves. So either one of two things is happening. Either one, Santa's still here and is like, I'm out, bye! And he just disappeared. Or two, he somehow was reanimated from the dead for a brief second to wave to Charlie? I don't know. But yeah, then he comes back. The body's gone, but the suit's still there. Then Scott puts on the suit. And then they deliver toys. It's fine. It's funny. He goes to a house without a fireplace. And he goes down, like, the exhaust chimney or whatever from wherever the heater is. And then you see a chimney appear in the house. There's always a chimney for him to enter.
Yeah.
A girl sees him and is like, are you Santa? He's like, no, I'm not Santa. I'm just, filling in for him or whatever.
I thought he said something like, I thought he does still say he's Santa. And because remember the next year she recognized him, and she wonders why he's so thin. And he said something like about liking celery or something.
Yeah.
Or like being on a diet, because she gives him almond milk or something, or skim milk or something.
That's right. The first year it's the regular stuff, and the next year he was like, why is it skim milk? And then she's like, because I thought you were on a diet. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. But then he ends up at the North Pole, and then this is where it gets really weird. Because they get to the North Pole, assuming it's the actual magnetic pole of the Earth, and an elf is already there, like, outside. So again, several things could be happening. Either one, the elf heard the sleigh coming in, because you know that the North Pole is technologically advanced in ways that are incomprehensible to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
They heard the sleigh coming. He went up to let Santa in, which is strange that he needs to be let in. Two, they knew that it was a new guy, and they're like, we have to let him in because he doesn't have, like, the key yet.
Yeah.
Or three, that elf's duty on Christmas Eve is to just stand in the sub-zero temperatures of the North Pole and wait till Santa shows back up.
I think it's the second one, because as soon as he gets there... What's the elf's name? Bernard. Bernard knows that he's new.
Right. But also, they're coming down on this little, like, ice platform into, like, the stables of the reindeer. And everyone is just fine that it's not the old Santa. The elves are just cool with it. And this is the part of the movie that really gets me, because, again, several things could be happening here. One, previous Santa was a jerk, and they're just happy that he's gone.
Yeah.
Two, the elves lack empathy. Any kind of, like, human emotion, and they're just like, we make toys and serve our master. Hello, master. Or three, they've done this so many times that they're just unfeeling at this point, and they're like, well, here we go again. So
yeah, they don't get attached to the Santas, because
there's no attachment.
Cycle through him.
I would say I think that number three is more likely possible, because Bernard is just like, you're Santa, and, like, walks away. Yeah. And he's like, wait, why? He's like, that's what I said. You're Santa.
You're talking about Bernard's kind of a jerk.
Oh, yeah. But I think, like, Bernard is, like, an indicator for how the rest of the elves feel. Is they're just like, yep, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not doing a walkthrough, so I can talk. So let's talk about the other movies. So Bernard shows up again in the sequel.
Yes.
In Santa Claus 2.
Yeah.
And then he has that second elf that was that kid who was really big in early 2000s movies. You know who I'm talking about? He plays. I don't know if he's in anything now.
Probably not. If you don't know his name.
He was in a Bruce Willis movie called The Kid that I loved as a kid for some reason.
Oh.
It was Bruce Willis. He's this jerk, which is probably like life imitating art. And he runs into this past version of himself.
Okay.
It's a Disney movie, too.
Really?
Yeah.
The Kid.
Yeah. I loved this movie growing up. I haven't watched it in years.
Bruce Willis. The Kid.
But so that kid is the second in line. And then the third one, Bernard is nowhere to be found. And the kid who is in this movie, The Kid, is now the head elf person.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? What is this kid's name?
Spencer Breslin.
Oh, is that... Is he related to Abigail Breslin?
I think he is.
They do kind of look familiar.
Yep.
Or similar. Not familiar. Yep. Similar.
I guess... Yes.
What does he look like now?
Spencer Breslin, 2018.
Oh, there's one of him now, I think. Is he still an actor?
What happened to the kid? It's from the Daily Mail, or Express.
He has a famous sister and a lot of tattoos. What?
Wow.
Well, yeah. So Spencer Breslin, he became the head elf.
Huh. Yeah. And, you know, I like the idea. You mentioned the elves. We both mentioned the elves at this point. How the elves are immortal, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But then my question is, if, like, his son Charlie was there, and an elf died in, like, some horrible slinky-making accident... Because
this is going really creepy. You know, I can tell.
Would, if, like, Charlie put on, like, the elf's clothes, would he become an elf?
If you're following that logic, then all of the elves are kids who are just perpetually
trapped. But I think some of them are old, because there's the...
They're all old, yeah.
Like, the girl who gives Scott / Santa... the hot cocoa, she's like, I've been perfecting this recipe for 1,200 years.
Right.
Which is strange, because the concept of Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, was not 1,200 years old.
Well, I guess she could have been, before Santa showed up, they could have had, elves could have been creatures.
I guess.
Like, maybe it's not beholden to Santa Claus.
Oh, so maybe the elves used to deliver toys prior.
Or maybe they just didn't deliver toys. Maybe they were just, they had their own. Oh, they God, just... now I'm thinking that, like, Santa came in and was, like, a colonist and was like, all right, you're going
The Santa Claus is about colonial expansion. Yeah, oh my gosh. So it was already weird enough.
But anyways, yeah, back to the point you were trying to make. Yeah. The elves, yeah, they don't seem to care at all that the old Santa is dead.
Yeah.
They don't grieve for him. There's no burial. There's no funeral.
There's no, like, oh my gosh, what happened to the old guy? Or, like, wait, what happened? You know, there's no inquiry into any of that. They're just like, all right, chop, chop, you're the new guy. Come on, let's go make some toys. He's like, whoa, what?
Yeah, and not only that, but you actually, we had a conversation, Adam and I had a conversation about this earlier. But the sequel gives a possibly dark implication to the original Santa Claus's wife.
Yeah, because in the Santa Claus 2, you discover that on the card, which has the fine print, which also, this is a Christmas series based off of Legalese, which is already, that's just weird. Yeah. Within the Santa Claus, even farther, like written on the lettering of the first clause, is a second clause... That's the Mrs. Claus, which is that Santa has to marry within, like, so many years, or he'll, like, cease to be Santa? That's, like, a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. And so, like, he goes and gets a wife and all that, and everything's fine, everyone's happy, yay, the end. There's, like, a plastic Santa in that one. and he becomes like a fascist. Yeah. I love fascist Santa. Got a Mussolini vibe going on with him.
That movie's funny.
But the implication is that when Santa dies, does his wife also disappear? Question mark. Like, was she at the North Pole like, well, good job, elves. You did what? I'm disappearing. And she's just gone.
Yeah.
Or is it like when Santa dies, like there's some kind of tracker in him that like there's like an alert at the North Pole, like, and they're like, where's Mrs. Claus? It's like, ma'am, your husband has died. You need to leave.
They just kick her out.
They just kick her out into the snow, and they're like, here's a blanket and some hot cocoa. Go fend for yourself. You know, just kick her off into the North Pole. Or like, even darker, do the elves just like, we have to do this, and they kill her? Oh, man. They just kill Mrs. Claus, hide the body, yeah. You know? Like, and so just, that's so dark. That's so dark.
It is dark. And with the Santa Claus, too, it's very heteronormative. So, yeah. Like, what would happen if the Santa Claus, if the person put it on was gay? Would they still have to get a wife? Or what if it was someone who wasn't a male?
Yeah.
Or if it was a woman?
Can a woman put on the outfit? Or, like, If say, like, a husband and wife couple, same thing happened, scared Santa, he comes, he dies, and then, like, the wife's cold or whatever, or the guy's cold, and he's like, oh, well, let me offer you this coat. She puts it on. Is she now Santa? Because this actually is a great segue to my next point, which is, after the initial Christmas Eve venture to the North Pole, with Scott and Charlie, they give him like red silk pajamas with SC, which of course works. He's Scott Calvin, Santa Claus.
Yeah,
and like they take him home the next day, and we never see how he gets home. Of course, that plays into the idea of like, oh, maybe it was a dream. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was all made up. But like, if he's Santa Claus now, you'd think that, like, he'd need to stay at the North Pole to, like, check the list, help make toys, you know, be Santa Claus. But they're like, you're the new guy. See you in a year.
Yeah, they're pretty autonomous at the North Pole. They've got things. And he doesn't have to check the list till like, November?
Yeah.
Around Thanksgiving?
And, like, then he puts on all this weight and, like, I think in the movie he gains like 45 pounds in a week.
Yeah.
He gets like the beard and the white hair and all that. And he's only supposed to be like 42 or something like that. So he's like, he's not that old.
Yeah.
But like if a woman put it on, would she become a man? Or would it just become a female Santa Claus? And like, would she get white hair? Would she grow a beard?
I don't know.
It is so, it's very heteronormative.
Yeah.
As we're talking about this and I'm processing out loud, I'm like, huh, interesting. But like, why does Santa have to be the way he is, you know? Like,
oh yeah, like why does he have to be overweight and
like clearly
have a beer?
Like Scott is leading an unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like there's the boardroom meeting where they're like pitching new toys and like everyone orders a salad and he's like, I'll do a slice of the cheesecake and some of the apple pie and 4 chocolate chip cookies. Oh, and a glass of milk to be healthy. You know, something like that. And everyone's like, what are you doing, Scott? And he's like, oh, just really hungry. And, like, everyone's in suits and he's like in a gray sweatsuit.
Yeah.
But like, okay, like that's funny. But then also it's, why does he have to be that way? Because recently I saw the Christmas Chronicles on Netflix with Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Right.
And there, he was like, how do I put it? He was like hot Santa. He was like ripped, muscular Santa. He wasn't like overweight. Because they even addressed this in the Christmas Chronicles. They're like, wait, aren't you supposed to be fat? And he was like, no. You know, why would I have to be fat? I couldn't fit down chimneys that way. And so like they address it in that movie. But in this one, there's like, Santa has to look this way. We built the brand years ago. We can't change our image.
Yeah. But, I mean, even in Polar Express, I don't think he was
an overweight Santa. He was bigger, but he wasn't, like, super fat or anything like that. And, like, even even like the old Rankin Bass stop motion ones, Santa's not really that fat. You see him without his suit on, and like he has like a round body, but like so does every other character in those specials. It's only when he puts the suit on that the suit implies that there's like a lot of fluff in the suit.
I guess. I mean, not in Rudolph, though. He starts off skinny.
Yeah, exactly.
But he ends up bigger by the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
But still, like, there's no need for that to happen.
No, I will say in that movie it is fun, though, that transformation that he goes through and how it's incrementally...
Like, he like shaves off everything and then just immediately grows back.
Yeah, and then his heartbeat is the jingle bells.
Yeah. So, like, that's fun. That's goofy. Which is so weird.
Yeah. Oh, and there's some good, great parts in that movie. Like, when he goes to the soccer game, and he kind of looks like Santa, and the kids line up sitting on his lap, and his ex-wife and her husband see him, and he goes, oh, this looks pretty weird, doesn't it? Yeah. It's like, I swear they lined up on themselves by themselves.
Yeah.
It looks pretty odd, doesn't it?
And you bring up the ex-wife and her husband, and we chatted about this before the podcast.
Yeah, Neil. Neil's
Neil. His name. Yeah. Goddamn Neil. Jerk.
Yeah.
So there are several points to bring up with the divorced wife and Neil. I say his name like I know him. Like he's like a jerk.
Yeah, like you hate him. Oh, Neil. I feel like you maybe know a Neil in your life.
Like, I'm not telling.
You just associate that person.
Neil.
You're just projecting that.
Yeah.
You're just disdain for that person onto Neil.
But like... They both adamantly don't believe in Santa.
Yeah, and they think it's an issue that Charlie really believes his father is Santa.
Yeah. Well, like, I can understand, like, if you believe your father is Santa, that being, like, an issue.
Yeah.
But, like, they make it seem like believing in Santa in general is, like, the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like, Neil at one point, like, has a globe, and he's like, okay, Charlie, now... Imagine, can a man with a sleigh and flying reindeer go all the way around the whole world? And he's, like, trying to disprove Santa to this kid, and I'm like, what a jerk!
Yeah, and at one point I think he said something along the lines of, Charlie's a little old to be believing, but Charlie's, like, 6 years old.
Yeah.
And he says he stopped believing when he was two?
Three.
Three?
And but yet, the ex-wife, she stopped believing when she was 11. So there's a huge gap there.
Yeah.
I mean, when did you stop believing in Santa? I don't think any children are listening to our podcast. Oh, okay. Spoiler.
I want to say 18. Oh. I'm kidding. I stopped believing when I was 10.
That's because I was 10 as well. Yeah.
This is actually a pretty good story I can bring up. It's related to the Santa Claus.
Okay.
When I was 8 years old, that's when the Santa Claus 2 came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my brother had a play date with a friend, and they had went to see the Santa Claus 2. Mm-hmm. And my brother's mom dropped him off. And it was one of those things where I was supposed to be in bed for some reason. Or like, I was listening to this conversation that my mom and my brother's friend's mom were having, and my brother's friend's mom said, they were talking about the movie, and she said something along the lines of, it's great, like it lets them believe a little bit longer. And that, like, shocked me to my core.
Oh, no.
And I think I buried that deep down. I remember that being an awful moment. Oh. I think I buried that deep down, because I was 8 at that time, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, I just buried that deep down, and then when I was 10, it really came to the surface.
It lets them believe a little bit more. Oh, my God. Well, this podcast got emotional. Yeah, when I stopped believing when I was 10, and I told my dad, we were sitting in the car, and I had a stoplight, and I was like, all right, Dad, tell me. Yes or no, is he real? He's like, do you want to know? I was like, yeah, tell me.
Did you have a cold?
No, it's my young kid voice.
Okay.
I was perpetually had a cold when I was younger. I was a really sick child.
It's not like a little kid's voice. All right, Dad. Lay it on me.
I was like a chain smoker from Brooklyn.
Dad. All right, Dad, tell me.
is the big man real or not? And he's like, all right,
son. Give it to me straight. Yeah.
Tell me, Doc. Santa real? Yes or no? And my dad's like, no, he's not real. I was like...
I'm just imagining you sitting in a car seat like that. In the back seat.
I was in the passenger seat.
No BS.
No BS, 10-year-old Adam.
None of you... Dad, none of your parents are BS.
Don't give me none of your... Tell me your dad, BS. Give it to me straight. Is he real? And he was like, no. And then I broke down. I was like, you lied to me!
Did you really?
I was upset. Because I wasn't upset because that Santa wasn't real. Because I already had a feeling he wasn't real. But it was the fact that my parents lied to me, because my parents lying is like one of their biggest, like you never lie. Oh, and so yeah. For me, hearing from them, like, Santa's not real, I'm like, whoa! You just broke your own rule. You just lied to me for 11 years. Hang on. What? So, but anyway, back to the Santa Claus instead of our own childhood trauma. The parents, Neil and the ex, what is her name? I'm going to look this up.
I want to say it's Carol.
I think it might be.
Neil and maybe it's not Carol.
Wendy?
Oh, is it Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy. Yep. Okay. Because she plays. Oh, sorry, no. Laura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Laura Miller. Because she's married to Neil Miller. That's right. Wendy Crewson is the actual actress.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Laura. So Laura and Neil. They're, like, at the courthouse during the custody hearings, because that's part of this movie as well. You know, fun Christmas movie for the whole family. Introducing childhood custody hearings.
Yeah.
They talk about how they stopped believing in Santa, and how, like... Like, Laura mentions, she's like, I wanted this mystery date game. And that year, I got every other present I wanted, but no mystery date game. And it's like, okay. And she's like, I stopped believing.
You're right. Santa. She does describe it that way. Like it was everything I wanted, but no mystery date game.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, get over yourself. Every Christmas, I haven't gotten everything on my list, but yeah. I was never like, well, I guess Santa's not real because he's a jerk to me.
Yeah, and then Neil says he found out when he was 3 when he didn't get the Oscar Mayer weenie whistle.
Yeah, which I'm like, don't you send away for one of those, like, from Oscar Mayer packages? Like, that's not a thing you order.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like the prize in the cereal box. Like, yeah. You get enough box tops and yeah, you send
Santa
it
Santa didn't get me the Pikachu spoon, so I don't believe in him anymore.
I didn't get my Star Wars pen and my Cheerios. Which also, I had all the Star Wars pens.
You did?
Actually, I still have them.
Oh, nice.
But anyway.
I never like it, though, when... It always bugs me a little... Irks me a little bit in Christmas movies when people don't believe in Santa because of that reason, or they believe again because they get some gift that they never got when they were younger.
Well, because at the end of the movie, Scott, who's now Santa... He gives Laura the mystery date game, and he gives Neil the Oscar Mayer whistle, and they both believe again. I'm like, all right, you're just a selfish jerk.
Yeah.
If that's, like, your rationale. And also, like, every other Christmas where there's presents under the tree that neither of the spouses got for their child, where'd they come from? There's your proof for Santa right there. You know?
Yeah.
Or is it like Santa's like, well, parents don't believe, no presents for them this year.
Or the kid,
yeah. Like, well, sorry, Timmy, I would have gotten you free presents, but your mom and dad don't believe in me.
Yeah, but I just feel like that's like missing the forest for the trees? That expression? The trees for the forest? No, it's not really that. Hold on a second. We can't edit this. All right. That's not the reason for the season or Santa Claus in general. It's not about getting what you asked for.
No. Like, I can understand if, like, you didn't get any gifts that year.
Yeah.
If there's like a massive anomaly in your norm, going from a scientific standpoint, if there's an anomaly in the constant, sure, don't believe in Santa. But you don't get one gift? What?
Yeah.
No.
Bizarre.
Sometimes I go to the dining hall and they don't have chicken tenders. I'm not like, well, I guess none of you can cook anymore.
Right.
They're just out of chicken tenders. I don't know. That's a silly point to me. But yeah. And then you brought it up, how Santa... So Scott does end up going back to the North Pole around Thanksgiving, but he kidnaps his son.
Yeah.
For like...
A month! A solid month.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, your kid's missing school.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna be a good dad, you're failing horribly at proving that you can be a good dad. What? It's just... And then when they, like... So they finally get him on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. They catch Santa. And they're, like, having this police interrogation. And I love police... There's so many instances in movies where Santa gets caught by the police. It happens here. Actually happens in the Christmas Chronicles as well. And I'm like, okay, it's Christmas Eve. I get that police never stop working. But, like, you know, I just love that scenario where, because the audience thinking, like, oh my gosh, he's got to get back and deliver all the gifts. Oh, Christmas is going to be canceled this year. Oh, man. But clearly not, because parents are giving their kids presents because Santa's not going to their house, I guess? But, like... Because they don't believe or something like that. And then... But I love the interrogation scene where, like, the detective is like, when I say Scott Calvin, like, just tell me your name. He's like, what's your name? And he's like, Kris Kringle. He's like, what's your name? He's like, Saint Nick. He's like, what's your name? And he starts going into different languages. He's like, yeah. Sinterklaas. I'm like, you know, like, when you become Santa, do you forget who you are?
No, he knows who he is. He's messing with the car.
Yeah, but, like, at that point, you're not helping your situation. You're just being a jerk. I don't know. The whole movie is just very weird. Do you have any final thoughts on the Santa Claus?
On the Santa Claus? I will say I still like the movie. Really enjoy it. Like, I hope this doesn't sound like we're hating on it.
Oh, no.
Because I definitely don't want to be that kind of podcast. But it's just we're more pointing out some of the absurdities or things that maybe warrant looking a little more deeper into.
Yeah.
I think my favorite of the trilogy is probably the second one.
Oh, I agree.
So in the second one, there's that scene where Charlie, he's like 10 years older now, or 8 years older now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this angsty teen who he's mad. He's like... vying against Christmas because he wants to spend more time with his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's kind of preoccupied with Christmas.
Because he's Santa Claus.
Yeah, and there's that scene where he rappels into the gym and he's spray painting. And there's this song that's called, it's called Naughty Naughty Christmas. It's actually a really good Christmas song. You should check it out. But that's on my Christmas playlist. It's been there for the last 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
But that rappel thing... Like, I always like in cartoons where there's, like, the product placement where it's like, we have this Batman toy coming out, so this Batman cartoon will have Batman use this glider. Whereas there was something, like, weirdly, with that rappel kit, they bring that up later in the movie.
Yeah. Where it's I think they rappel into the North Pole to fight evil Santa.
Yeah, like, there's this point where this... elf girl is about to get, like, attacked by this wooden soldier, mm-hmm. and he comes down, picks her up, and then goes up again.
Yeah.
But it's like, that would take so much planning to, like, set up the rappel kit to be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I love how Santa Claus 2 also takes an already strange concept, and we're just like, let's just turn it up to, like, 11.
Yeah.
Because you get introduced to, like, this council of, like, other mythical holiday beings.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Tooth Fairy. I think Mother Nature is there.
Yeah.
The Easter Bunny.
Yep.
We learned in the third movie that there was another guy, Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Who's the embodiment of winter.
Yeah. Who's played by Martin Short.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's fun.
Yeah.
But he becomes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's just... We don't talk about the third one.
In the third one, they have an all-star cast, though.
Yeah, the Santa Claus 3 cast.
Yes. I like some parts of the Santa Claus 3. I don't quite understand how when the in-laws are coming to visit, they have to take down all the Christmas stuff and replace it with Canadian stuff. Like, couldn't you just get away with, oh, this is really festive this time of year? Like, I don't think you have to get rid of the Christmas stuff.
No. Yeah. It's so strange. It's so weird. But, yeah. They stopped making them in 2006.
That's when making what? Out.
The Santa Claus movies. Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, has a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, not even audiences liked it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I mean, there's the first two, which are good.
Yeah.
So you got those going for you.
I mean, $84 million at the box office.
There you go. The cast, like, let's look at the cast real quick. Because the cast, there's...
If the cast isn't bad, it's Tim Allen, Judge Reinhold, Elizabeth Mitchell, Martin Short, Spencer Breslin,
Alan Arkin, and then
Anne Margaret, Art LaFleur, Kevin Pollak, yeah. Peter Boyle, Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this kid. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, he was the elf doctor. Charlie Stewart is who we're looking at.
Yeah, like, he's the...
Oh, he used to be on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, didn't
he? Yeah. But yeah, it's a strange series.
Claus. I thought the whole It's a Wonderful Life concept was neat, where Scott gets to experience what it's like if Jack Frost became Santa.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But and just how different things were.
Mm-hmm.
And how he wasn't, like, where his life was going. How he was working on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Tim Allen's quite an interesting guy.
He is. And so in that same Jimmy Fallon interview, he was talking about how he doesn't like kids very much.
Yeah.
And how on set, the kids actually believed he was Santa Claus. And the director was like, you can't, like, smoke. You have to be nice to these kids.
Yeah.
And I would think that, like, I get that he doesn't like kids, but I would think that being in that persona and wearing the suit would make you a little bit jollier, or, like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you think that I had the responsibility to be kind of kind to these kids? And
yeah.
I don't know. He's made it sound different. I guess that's part of his character, is to be this guy who's so unlikely to be Santa Claus. He's kind of a Scrooge. And then he ends up being
this. Yeah. But, like, he's definitely... I mean, he's even involved in, like... what is it? Like, he's in Toy Story. He's Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
So another kids franchise.
I know.
So weird. But anyway, anything else for the Santa Claus?
Other things for the Santa Claus? Just tinsel comes in handy. Never knew.
That's right. That's right.
And the elves with attitude with the jetpack.
I'm sorry. But that part was like, we're elves.
With
attitude. I'm like, okay. All right.
Oh, wait. And I think we talked about this before we started recording. But the elves assault police officers.
Yeah. That's cool with that. Like, they break Santa out of jail, and everyone's just like, well, I guess you were Santa Claus all this time. Bye, Santa. I'm like, he still broke the law. He still kidnapped his son regardless, and everyone's fine with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Santa that did it.
Oh, well.
They don't want to get on the naughty list because they want that one thing.
That's right.
If Santa doesn't bring that one thing...
They're done. Yeah. Oh, well. So, I guess we'll move on now to Santa as in as appearing in, a little butchering the words there. Santa Santa as he appears in the Marvel Universe.
Ba-doom.
And we're back. So now we want to talk about, continue our Santa talk, but involving the Marvel comic universe.
Yeah. Santa actually is a character in the Marvel comics.
Yeah. He is within the continuity of the Marvel comic universe. He has yet to show up in the cinematic universe. I'm waiting for the Santa Claus movie from Marvel Studios. I would love to see that. I think if, like, Marvel ever gets to the point where they're just, like, down on their luck and, like, their movies aren't making any money anymore, they just go all out, blow the rest of whatever budget they have on a Santa Claus movie, and they're like, we're done. We'll release it in, like, February. Like, here you go. Here's your Marvel hero, Santa. But yeah, he is a mutant, technically speaking.
Not only a mutant, but the most powerful mutant ever registered by Cerebro.
Yeah. He has the power to control time and manipulate space. And he also has longevity, quote-unquote, where he can just live for a long time. So that's fun.
Yeah. But you were telling me before that he has the same history as Saint Nicholas.
Yeah, so canonically in the comics, he has the same history as, like, modern day or, like, our world Santa. So of course Santa came from Saint Nicholas, who was a saint who lived in Turkey, Greece, Mediterranean. Was he a bishop? Yeah, he was a bishop. He was also a little weird. The gift-giving aspect of Christmas comes from Saint Nick, where he would go around brothels, and he would, so prostitutes, I guess, would leave their shoes outside of the brothel or outside of the room where, you know, and he would put gold coins, like, he would put money in their shoes so, like, you can, like, get out of this profession.
Oh.
And, like, you can go live a better life. Admirable guy.
Yeah.
Really weird how he's sneaking around brothels, putting money in prostitute shoes. Man. But, you know, overall pretty nice guy. He's also the patron saint of thieves.
Really?
Yep. So, for all you Catholic listeners out there, yeah, fun fact. But, yeah, in the comics, he's still the same bishop.
Yeah.
But he lives forever, technically, and he eventually moves his operation to the North Pole. It's never clear if there are elves involved, but he does have flying reindeer. He probably manufactured them himself. They're probably, like, mutant reindeer.
Oh, yeah. Does it ever explain the reindeer? Just do, like, command find reindeer.
Let's see
here. We're on a Marvel wiki page. The experience, while you're looking up that, the experience I have with knowing St. Nicholas's backstory comes primarily from Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Yes, I've seen that movie. I would not recommend it.
Oh, no.
It was, it's one of those movies where it's so bad that it's funny. But he, so in that movie, his brother-in-law is struggling with the spirit of the season. And so they have this conversation in Kirk Cameron's car, or the guy, his brother-in-law's car. And he's trying to show how the season is still there. And at one point, I think he's trying to show how cool St. Nicholas is. And he's like, there was one time at this council of all these bishops that St. Nicholas didn't agree with everyone. So this one person he particularly didn't agree with, he literally smited him. Like, he beat the crap out of this guy, apparently.
That's on the Marvel Wiki.
Is it?
Yeah. He, let's see here. He was supposedly present at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, where he was imprisoned for his faith by Emperor Diocletian. He once saved three wrongly accused soldiers from execution by appearing to Emperor Constantine in a dream. He also rescued three sailors from a storm off the Turkish coast and restored three children to life, one after another, after their heads had been severed. Mm-hmm. His most famous story tells... Yeah, so... I'm not sure about the beating thing, but he was at the Council of Nicaea. And if he didn't agree, then I'm sure he would vocalize it. He seems like he'd be a very popular guy. In the Marvel Universe, as well as ties in with Norse mythology, mm-hmm. Alfheim, which is where the elves are from, Santa lives there, and he has a dimensionally limitless sack with toys and travels around the planet via his sleigh driven by 8 flying reindeer from Alfheim.
Yeah.
Now, it has been theorized that Thor might make a trip to Alfheim in Avengers Endgame, which, if that's the case, oh, I swear we get to see Santa. I hope Santa gets to fight Thanos.
Oh my god.
That would be... I think that would be the most... That would jump the shark, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, seeing Kris Kringle, ho, 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 smack down on Thanos. Oh my
god. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be out there.
The Infinity Slay. Let me think about it. You know, you just goes from 8 reindeer to 6. He gives each reindeer an Infinity Stone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
But yeah, so it looks like he's quite popular in the MCU. In fact, in 1943, in the Marvel continuity, we read this before we recorded this, Adolf Hitler had Santa kidnapped to destroy the USA's morale, which raises several questions. Is Santa only for the United States? Are the German kids not getting any presents? I mean, I know their leader is Adolf Hitler, but, like, you know, there are still some, like, innocent kids in Germany. Do they not get presents? So we had Santa Claus arrested, and then FDR sent Nick Fury, Captain America, and Bucky to go save Santa from Hitler, which is just kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then later on Christmas Eve, a few decades later, Cerebro detected the most powerful mutant ever registered in New York City. So the X-Men and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants ended up at the Rockefeller Center in New York, and Santa was there. And Santa was the most powerful mutant ever registered by Cerebro. So that's fun.
Yeah.
At the end of that story, Santa transforms the Brotherhood into inanimate toys, teleports the X-Men away, erases both the X-Men and the Brotherhood's involvement of, like, erases their memories of ever being involved with Santa, turns the Brotherhood back into their regular selves, and then he gives the Santa the first white Christmas in years.
Gives the Santa.
Gives the city. Is it the Santa?
Yeah,
is it the Santa?
Yeah.
He gives the Santa.
New York City hadn't had a white Christmas?
Guess not in a few years. And Santa was like, ho, 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 there you go.
Oh, nice.
So,
what a jolly old soul. I like it whenever supernatural properties will then retroactively explain things that happened in history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of neat explaining that Santa Claus is a mutant.
Yeah. So he's appeared in Avengers Assemble, the Disney XD series. So he's also worked with She-Hulk. He's worked with Scott Lang. He's fought Doctor Doom. He's fought Doc Ock. He's also fought with the Great Lakes X-Men and the Great Lakes Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers.
Are you familiar with the Great Lakes Avengers?
No, I can't believe that's an actual thing.
Great. Oh, they are like... They've been around for a while.
Have they?
Yeah. Also, the West Coast Avengers.
I hear the West Coast. There's actual Great Lakes.
Great Lakes Avengers, 1989, in West Coast Avengers number 46.
Oh my gosh.
The Great Lakes Avengers.
Who's the guy who kind of looks like Spider-Man?
That's Doorman.
Doorman?
He can open doors to anywhere in the world.
Oh my gosh.
There's Flatman. He's flat. There's Good Boy. He's a wolf.
Oh.
And there's Big Bertha, who's a fat woman.
Okay.
And they're the Great Lakes Avengers. They're based out of, I think, Detroit. Also, Squirrel Girl is part of the Great Lakes Avengers.
Really?
So, yup.
Flatman, is he like a knockoff of Mr. Fantastic?
Yes. Except he's flat.
Oh my gosh.
So, well, yeah.
The Great Lakes Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers. Yep.
Is there like the Midwestern Suburban Avengers?
Oh, they'd be so boring. But yeah, Great Lakes Avengers. Yep. All right. And then, yeah. So, well, that's been quite fun chatting about Santa in the MCU.
Nice, in
the Marvel Comics universe. If he's in the MCU, oh, I'd be so happy.
That'd be neat. That'd be really neat.
I feel like Tony Stark would not have a good time with Santa.
What do you mean?
He'd be like, he wouldn't believe that he was real.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And Thor would be like, you know, but I'm a Norse god. I'm real.
Yeah.
And how is Santa not real?
Yeah, and he'd be like, he'd have so much respect for Santa.
Yeah. He'd be like, this is the great Santa Claus. And, like, Doctor Strange would be like, yeah, I've heard of him. Like, everyone else would be like, yeah. And then Tony Stark's like, I don't know. Seems fake to me. So.
Sounds like a great story.
It'll be our fanfic involving Santa.
We'll write that.
We will. We'll put it on our Twitter, which also, great time to plug our Twitter. Follow us at AA CultureCast. On Twitter. That's AA Culture Cast on Twitter. Let's plug that. We haven't plugged the last few episodes, and we have a Twitter.
It. Yeah, check us out.
Yeah. Mostly retweeting pop culture stuff, any kind of pop culture news. We like to interact with our fans.
Yeah. If you ever have a suggestion for a topic we should hit, please let us know.
Yeah, tweet at us. We also have a Gmail. You can send us an email at aapopculturecast@gmail.com. So, wait, yeah.
The Gmail is not at aapopculturecast.
aapopculturecast@gmail.com.
Got it.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Nice. Well, that was our discussion today.
Yeah. Really fun. Love the Santa talk. That sounds weird. Santa talk.
Yeah.
Well, son, you're getting to that age where you're going to need the talk.
Give it to me straight, Dad. This is the big guy. Does he exist or not?
With like a cigar sticking out of his mouth, like a fedora. Tell me, Dad. This big guy, is he real? The man with the sack?
The toy boy.
That's worse. It is. Well, next week, we will be discussing, we can finally announce this, for our Christmas Eve holiday special, we will be discussing with our friend Morgan Miller the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes, what a glorious film.
We watched it last week, and... Oof. Don't want to give too much away, but just... Whew.
Yeah, we'll just say we watched it so that you don't have to, if you haven't watched it yet.
If you haven't watched it, would not recommend. So look forward to that. Again, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Plus, Overcast, Pocket Cast. Anywhere you get your podcast, we're there. And... Follow us at AA CultureCast on Twitter and send us an email at aapopculturecast@gmail.com. We're always looking forward to suggestions, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Noice!